Sponsorship of this KQED podcast is provided by Careful Clean, serving the Bay Area with exterior cleaning services, pressure washing, solar panel cleaning, and wood restoration services for residential and commercial clients. Careful-clean.com.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com.
This is the California Report. I'm Scott Schaefer. Coming up, sleepless in California. So many of us just don't get enough shut-eye, and it can make us a little crazy.
For most people, the bedroom is sanctuary. You should look forward to going to your room. People with chronic insomnia often sleep better away from home because their bedrooms are places of torture. They go to bed hoping, wishing to get a good night's sleep.
Truck drivers, airline pilots, and overworked students can all have sleep issues. Then there's moms with newborns.
We have postpartum parents who are arguably in one of the most important jobs that anybody can have, and we've not paid very much attention to their sleep or to its impact.
How well do we sleep, and what can we do about it? We'll spend a night in a sleep lab to get some answers. It's the California Report. We spend about a third of our entire lives sleeping, or trying to, and it isn't hard to get people to talk about it.
I'm a worrywart mother, and sometimes if I wake up during the night, and if I start thinking about something, it's not going to allow me just to doze off again.
When you go to sleep, all the things you could have done, you should have done, you might have done, start knocking on your door.
The other night, I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning. I felt refreshed, and I thought it was time to get up. I had to lay there and force myself to go back to sleep.
I've tried just numbers, sheep, whatever it may be. I can't seem to calm my mind down at night.
I know I'm not getting enough sleep, so I'm always tired.
I sleep very well. Once I hit that bed, in just a matter of, I would say, minutes, I'm out.
That was Arlene Garcia. And earlier, Janice Bauer, Louis Colosimo, Regina Allen, Megan Prezenica, and Tammy Zarganis, all talking about sleep. It's the topic of our whole show today.
The most common sleep disorder in America, we think, is people just not getting enough sleep for lifestyle reasons, insufficient sleep.
That's Dr. Rafael Paleo with the Stanford Sleep Medicine Center in Redwood City. People with sleep issues go there to learn more about the quality and quantity of sleep they get. Last week, I spent a night at the clinic, hooked up to electrodes, to see what I could learn. I get there around 5 in the evening. It begins like any doctor's visit.
This machine will measure your blood pressure, your pulse.
I'm game for this, but I got to tell you, sleeping is not one of the things I do best, as Dr. Paleo would soon learn.
Let's start from the beginning. So if you were really a patient here, you would have come in, got your vital signs, come in, and I would simply ask you, why are you here?
Okay. Well, I'm here because I'm doing a story about sleep.
Yes.
But, you know, like anybody, I have sleep issues.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, I feel like I don't sleep soundly.
Okay. And since when have you felt that way?
As long as I can remember.
You have no memories of sleeping well?
Not really.
I was a child. I was a little boy.
Dr. Paleo asked when I went to bed as a kid. Hadn't thought about that in years. I tell him that as the youngest of three, I always went to bed first. He suggests that maybe I kind of resented that early bedtime, creating a kind of anxiety. One thing I'm quickly realizing, sleep and psychology are very much intertwined.
So you have inappropriate bedtime, so going to bed is a drag, is a hassle, right? And it's not fair that your older sibling gets to stay up later than you.
We talked about what I do in the evening, when I go to bed, how many times a night I think I wake up, and how I feel in the morning. Answer, tired.
You can have a little bit of two things going on. A little bit of a light sleeper with mild sleep apnea can overall give you unrefreshing sleep.
Yeah.
And the thing is to do is to tease that out and then break it down into the right parts to it. So tonight we're just going to measure how you're sleeping, and in the morning we'll go over the results with you.
It was time to get ready for bed. No small thing in this place. I'm led to my room, called simply Sleep 18. Technician Robert Tagnoli is getting ready to hook me up.
The first place I'm going to start putting electrodes is on your legs, just below your knees.
And so each one of these monitors something different?
Yes. You can imagine that.
There are 28 wires in all, attached to my legs, my head, my abdomen. Then Tagnoli sticks them all into a box that he hangs around my neck. He turns on a machine that blows air to dry the glue holding the wires attached to my head. All of it's meant to sense and measure my breathing, eye motion, blood oxygen, snoring, leg and chest movements.
What phase of sleep you're in, whether you're dreaming, whether you're awake, whether you're asleep at all, and if there are interruptions to your sleep architecture, as shown by brain waves.
Finally, I'm all wired up and ready to hit the sack.
All right, so it's me and a box of wires ready for a good night's sleep. How am I ever going to sleep with all this stuff?
How did I sleep? And what story did all those wires tell? We'll get to that later on. But visiting the sleep lab gave me a chance to talk with some of the doctors who work on sleep issues, including Michelle Primo. She's a psychiatrist working at Stanford's Sleep Disorders Clinic. Her specialty? Insomnia.
I swear everyone that you talk to has experienced insomnia at least at a certain point in time. It may be related to a specific event, like if a student has a test the next day or if you had difficulty with your boss. You know, everyone has experienced insomnia at some point.
And yet there must be a spectrum.
It does become a chronic issue for some people. And so generally we look for it existing at least 3 times per week. The bigger thing that I look for, though, when I talk to someone is how much it's really impairing their functioning. So if they really feel like that, you know, not only are they short sleeping, but they're having difficulty with functioning, they're really worrying about their sleep, when it becomes its own monster is really a highlighting flag for me.
So the good news is it's treatable.
Oh, definitely. And that's part of the reason why I went into sleep in general, was because as a psychiatrist, I found that I was prescribing lots of medications for sleep and people still weren't sleeping. And so I knew there had to be a better answer.
So they can take Ambien or Lunesta, whatever it is, and still not fall asleep?
Yes, exactly. So what people usually will find is that they may take a medication and over time require more of a medication. They may take additional medications. So they end up taking 3, 4, 5 different medications in a night and still it's not working.
And then what would you say generally to someone who thinks they may have insomnia or sleep problems or has them and just is kind of like decided, well, I'm just going to live with it?
Well, so part of the problem with insomnia is it also can be quite dangerous, just like sleep apnea. So you can have decrements in your attention, concentration, and functioning. Though oftentimes, because it's so chronic, you are able to compensate a lot. But my strongest argument is the fact that, you know, we do have treatments that work really well, and it doesn't have to be medication. And why suffer with it if it can get better?
And is it cognitive behavioral therapy is the most likely non-medication treatment?
Yes. So cognitive behavioral therapy specifically tailored for insomnia is quite an efficacious treatment. It tends to work very well.
Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, helps insomniacs realize what triggers their sleeplessness and helps them change the way they think about sleep. Some people try medications or over-the-counter treatments to fall asleep. I asked Rafael Paleo, the sleep doc we heard from a minute ago, about one of those, melatonin.
Melatonin is the hormone that tells the brain that night's approaching. It lets you know, hey, night's coming, let's get ready for bed. Melatonin by itself should not usually make you drowsy. It just kind of lets you know that night's approaching.
I use it every now and then, and it does seem like it gives me a deeper sleep.
Melatonin in research has been shown to make people fall asleep faster, but not sleep longer. So you don't usually increase your total sleep time. And the depth of sleep is not really that consistent. However, if you're somebody who already thinks of yourself as a light sleeper, know you already have issues, when you take the melatonin, you go, okay, I took something that's going to help me sleep better, that by itself will improve. Sleep in general is very sensitive to your state of mind, and therefore is very sensitive to placebo effects also. Not that melatonin is an entire placebo, it's not I'm saying that, but there is strong placebo effects to anything with sleep. I can take a patient, give them the exact same sleeping pill, but change the color of the capsule. They'll tell you that the blue one is different than the red one, even though it's the exact same thing inside.
And what about people who work odd hours, the swing shift, that kind of thing? How does that affect their sleep?
The human brain is set up to predict sunrise and sunset. When you have rotating shifts, the brain's mechanism for predicting dawn is out of sync with the outside world. So all the other timing mechanisms in the body get thrown off. There's certain hormones in the body, for example, cortisol, that are supposed to start to rise just before we wake up. And other hormones are supposed to be decreasing as we're about to sleep. And the timing of these hormones is based on when they were released the previous days. So when you abruptly change your sleep cycle, the body gets completely thrown off. So typical feelings are, with shift workers, is of not being fully alert, not being able to sleep on their sleeping schedules. So there are a lot of mistakes that they'll do. Pilot errors. There's been issues in the trucking industry where there are now fines imposed on people and special penalties if they find that somebody's been in an accident due to not getting enough sleep. One of the big problems with shift workers is that they may learn to do their shifts, but on their days off, they try to go back to the regular pattern. So let's say they work 5 days a week a shift, and then on the weekends they try to revert to the usual pattern. If you do this on a regular basis, it's like being always jet-lagged. You're never at your best. So the best advice for shift workers is to stay on your shifts on your days off. Very impractical thing to do, but it is the best way to do it if you're going to be doing it. And there are some people who like the shift work. Some people enjoy the fact that there's less people around. They have more time to themselves, and people will seek that out.
One of those folks who like working odd hours is Carlos Fernandez. He lives in Woodlake, a small town in California's Central Valley. Now 68, he spent the last four decades as a night shift truck driver, hauling cement to and from Fresno.
The cement plants that we haul to, they start up about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning. So if they give you an early load, the early load would be 1 o'clock in the morning. We come down the freeway. There's the good thing about that hour is no traffic, hardly. But that's when we want to sleep. That's the bad part about it. We want to sleep. You know, you get tired. But one of the hardest things to do is towards the middle of the week when you really start to get tired is to stay awake. And by me staying awake, I'm going to save my life or maybe somebody else's life. And we have things that will help us stay awake. We have music. We have no dose, coffee, squirt bottle to squirt some water on your face, try to stay awake, pinch, pull your hair, slap my face. I've done all of that. I like my Spanish music, música ranchera. I listen to that. I have my radio here that I play my CDs. Towards the end of the week is when it gets more dangerous because you're tired. You climb in the truck and you say, wow, I got to go 214 and then 264 back and then another 64 back to get to the house. Oof, that's a long trip. That's why I carry this board here. I put it across and I put two pillows on it and I can sleep across the two seats. With this truck here, I saw what I could do with it. I raised my family, and I'm still successful, and the trucks have been good to me. They really have, and I wouldn't have it no other way. The thing is, I used to work in the fields, and in the fields, you have no future. There's not enough money there to get you anything. It just keeps you a slave, paying enough to eat, that's all. Like I say, if I was to relive my life, I would want to relive it as a truck driver.
That was Carlos Fernandez in Woodlake talking to us as part of our series, What's Your Story? Check it out on californiareport.org. Jean-Paul Garnier struggles with chronic insomnia, but the Los Angeles musician and sound artist has learned to make it work for him. He creates abstract electronic soundscapes rooted in his own study of sleep. One of them is an 8-hour work in progress he calls a sleep map. The California Report's L.A. Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas brings us his story.
Well, my name is Jean-Paul Garnier, and I'm a sound artist and sound designer. During the day, I work at a rehearsal studio. I also sell sound effects, and I'm also a freelance house painter. I remember, back to when I was 5 or 6 years old, being an insomniac. And because it's been so long, and I fought against it for most of my life, I've been happier and my life has been better since I decided to embrace it and work with it instead of fighting against it. And so now that's just become what's normal in my life, and it works for me. It's now 3:28 a.m. Just been working for the last few hours on the visible light frequency tuning system. And also going to attempt to turn in at this point. Generally, I'll wake up around 3 in the morning and be up to anywhere from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. There'll be a week where I sleep like a normal human being and fall asleep at night, wake up in the morning. It's really not pattern-based. It's 2:22 a.m. Not tired at all. I actually, after my nap last night, wasn't up for too long and then slept for at least 10 hours, which was miraculous. I get that about once a month and it's rejuvenating. You know, if I have an erratic sleep pattern and I'm only going to sleep for 2 hours and be up, then might as well, you know, work with it and do something while you're up instead of agonizingly laying in bed, which I think is what a lot of insomniacs do, and that tends to just feed it, you know, or as if I get up and pursue whatever it may be, then, you know, eventually that'll drain me and I will fall asleep. All right, so this is an example of several isochronic tones put on top of each other. And actually, a lot of the music that I've created is to help myself go to sleep. I make a lot of more ambient, ethereal music. Some of the work that I do is arranged around building the perfect night sleep in an audio pattern so that, you know, an 8-hour recording that will gently guide you through these brainwave states as is what a normal night's sleep is, if there is such a thing. You know, you go through the four stages of sleep. So if I wanted to take you from a waking state right now at this point, I'd probably start it out in alpha waves and then move that down to theta and delta, and it adjusts back and forth throughout the night for different time periods. I imagine some people hear that and think, that's an irritating sound, how is that going to help me sleep? But I'd turned it up so that you could hear, but the nice thing about these is they can be listened to at really low volumes. I mean, for your brain to entrain to a beat, it doesn't have to be super present. Your brain will actually hear the beat created by those differences in cycles, so your brain will start firing at that. Basically, it's a rapid on-off switching of the sound. Your brain will start firing at this particular frequency. So to wish to just go back and sleep 8 hours a night, it's alluring to me, of course. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing things like building the audio sleep map and trying to help other people with the same problems with things like that. But I've never had it, so I don't know if it would be good for me either.
That's artist Jean-Paul Garnier, who embraces his insomnia. Other people don't exactly relish sleepless nights, especially when someone else is waking them up.
I haven't slept for almost 3 years. Okay, maybe that's a tiny exaggeration, but I haven't had a solid, delicious, uninterrupted night of sleep since 2010.
That's the California Report's Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca. She's also the mother of two young boys.
That's my 9-month-old, who wakes up several times a night. And that hissing sound in the background is a white noise machine. It's one of lots of tools I use to help my kids sleep. My 2.5-year-old still wakes up at night, too. For me, the biggest shock of becoming a parent was feeling jet-lagged, moving in a different time zone where night and day are all mixed up. For some of us, that jet lag stretches into weeks and then months.
Okay. Could you just when you get a chance, can you take King because he was up all night and I have a huge day today. I have to...
What happened?
I don't know, but he woke up just so many times and I have a huge day. I have to drive an hour each way for an interview. I'm not going to be safe on the road if I don't get...
A recent British poll of new parents estimates they lose an average of 6 months of sleep over the first 2 years of a child's life. That's probably no surprise to Bay Area mom and pediatrician Lee Atkinson McAvoy. She put in 36-hour shifts without sleep as a medical resident, but...
The sleep deprivation that I had as a new parent was 1,000 times worse.
No clocking out or making up the sleep after you finish your shift. So many of us are walking around in a fog, clawing for caffeine, forgetting our car keys, trying to make it through the workday without sliding under our desks for a nap, and losing patience with our partners and our kids.
Hey, I said no hitting your brother. No. What did I say about hitting? He's a baby. Please.
Everybody's
stop
got plenty
it.
Of advice about what to do with sleepless kids. Sleep train them, let them cry, don't let them cry, get them on a schedule, and we've tried it all. The truth is, some kids just don't sleep as well as others.
Why you wake up so many times? What happened?
Babies are very good at shredding the night into tiny shards. Constantly interrupted sleep means it's hard for us parents to sink down into deeply restorative REM. That's the kind of sleep that not only helps us recharge, but it helps with our memory and learning. That's why I sometimes feel like woodpeckers have drilled holes in my brain.
I suggest that what we have is not disordered sleep. I think what we really have are disordered expectations of new parents.
Dr. Holly Montgomery Downs of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine has been studying maternal fatigue for a decade. She runs the sleep lab at West Virginia University, where she asked tired moms to hit a button on a handheld device each time a bullseye popped up on the screen.
And what we find is that their reaction time is profoundly impaired.
Like drunk drivers. Montgomery Downs also says sleeplessness has affected parents throughout history. But with less family support and more intense work lives, exhausted parents today need longer paid parental leaves.
We've got fantastic federal regulations now. So National Traffic and Safety Administration regulations for truck drivers and air traffic controllers. And yet we have postpartum parents who are arguably in one of the most important jobs that anybody can have. And we've not paid very much attention to their sleep or to its impact.
Montgomery Downs says sleeplessness can lead to depression and anxiety in new parents. She's even started to look for links to shaken baby syndrome and forgotten baby syndrome, where parents mistakenly leave their kids in the car. But most studies stop looking at sleep problems for new parents after babies turn 3 or 4 months old. There have been very few long-term studies looking at the lasting effects of interrupted sleep. That leaves lots more questions for sleepless moms like me. Things I ponder when I can't turn my brain off at night after my kids wake me up. Like, will I suffer permanent memory loss? Will I eventually be able to sleep once my kids do? Or will I have to retrain my brain to stop waking up?
Hello?
Hi, Nicole? In the meantime, I've hired Nicole Johnson, a sleep consultant who's written up a 28-page plan to help my kids adjust their schedules and nap times so we can all try and get more sleep.
In general, sleep begets sleep. So when he slept great during the day, he probably slept well at night. But if he was very tired at bedtime, that's...
But for now, I still fantasize about checking into one of those sleep capsule hotels. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
I'm so tired, I haven't slept a wink. I'm so tired, my mind is on the blink. I wonder should I get up and fix myself a drink. No, 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 I'm so...
We end the show today where we began, at Stanford's Sleep Medicine Center in Redwood City. At about 7 a.m., I call the overnight sleep technician to say I'm awake.
Scott, you need anything?
Yeah, I was trying to get find the button.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like time to get up.
All right, I'll be in a few minutes.
Okay.
He comes in to disconnect all the electrodes. I shower to get the glue off me, then sit down with Dr. Rafael Paleo to go over the results.
And we actually look at every single second of your sleep. So you were in bed maybe 8 or 9 hours, 10 hours. We're going to look at it page by page over the entire night.
The computer screen shows more than a dozen lines, squiggles of green, red, blue, purple, and black.
So when you review these, what are you looking for?
You learn to look at the whole thing. But I'm looking for your brain waves. I'm looking for arrhythmias, like a weird heartbeat, low drops in oxygen, irregular breathing issues for the most part.
Irregular breathing can signal the most common and potentially dangerous sleep problem, sleep apnea. Paleo scrolls through the screenshots. Each one represents 30 seconds of sleep. There are hundreds of them for the night.
By the way, your EKG is nice. Your heartbeat's nice and slow. You're an athlete. You're a swimmer. 53. You know, you'd probably be happy with that, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you asked how long I thought it took me to fall asleep last night, I'd swear it was 1 or 2 hours. The reality? Not even close.
And look at these brain waves. Now, this is what they call a K-complex. See, it's this special wave. It looks different than the rest. That means you're in stage 2 sleep. You're snoring. Your breaths are kind of shallow now. You're gone. You're out. And that's 20 minutes after they turn off the lights.
Dr. Paleo talks about the 3 phases of sleep. Then he skips ahead a few hours to where the graphs get more animated, rapid eye movement, or REM sleep.
Dreaming, which is probably the sexy, interesting part of sleep, that's only about 20% of the night. And if that was all that we needed, we're wasting 80% of the night. In fact, we think that the entire sleep patterns are important.
After reviewing the night's data, I tell Dr. Paleo it looks like I'm a better sleeper than I thought. He disagrees. His take, my breathing is slightly irregular throughout the night. Nothing severe, but he suggests a few things I could do to get a better night's sleep.
People with sleep problems, though, sometimes don't realize that they're sleeping. They sleep so lightly, they're in and out of sleep. And since they're not sure if they're really sleeping or not sometimes, if they have a dream, they think, oh, if I'm dreaming, I must be sleeping, therefore I have a good night's sleep.
Sleeping is such a personal thing, right? When you sleep, how you sleep, who you sleep with. After I had all those wires attached, I posted a photo on my Facebook page. And I was surprised by how many people, friends, acquaintances, work colleagues, sent messages describing their own sleep issues. I realized that sleep is kind of complicated. It's not just an on-off switch, either you're sleeping or awake. Your mind can play tricks on you, making you think you're not sleeping when you are, or that you're getting better sleep than you are. The only way to know for sure is to get some actual data. And if you're having trouble sleeping, don't just accept it and think you have to live with it. Get it checked out. See what the options are. You'll find some useful links on our website, californiareport.org. And that's the California Report, a production of KQED Public Radio in San Francisco. We're online at californiareport.org and Facebook, too. Feel free to like us. You can also follow me on Twitter at Scott Schaefer. Our director is Susie Rocho. The technical producer is Seal Muller. We had additional engineering from Howard Gelman. The online team includes Lisa Pickoff-White, David Marks, and Don Clyde. We had production help from Shuka Kalantari. Our interns are Guy Marzorati and Gina Shalaba. Our editorial team includes Polly Stryker, Victoria Malione, Ingrid Becker, Bruce Kuhn, and Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend and get some sleep. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. And the California Endowment. Health happens with prevention at calendow.org.